Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life center style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight.
Okay, thank you, Gloria. Hi, this is Robin Misevich. I'm one of the regular diners here at the Transformation Cafe. I want to join and thank everybody for calling in and checking in. We invite you to come up to the table if you'd like and go ahead and grab a chair and scoot on in. And just let us know what kind of things you'd like to be talking about, anything kind of questions you have on what we've got already kind of happening on the table for conversation. Again, just as reminders, you can get at 646-727-3206. Or go to blogtalkradio.com and then go to the Transformation Cafe, and it will direct you directly into our chat room. So we want to go ahead and do that. And we've got Miss Gloria and also Mr. Jamie's there. So, hey, Miss Gloria, can you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, my name is Gloria, and I'm in San Diego, California today.
All right. Woo-hoo. Let's hear for San Diego. Yay. Okay. And Mr. Jamie. Hi, Mr. Jamie. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm still hurting. I got a little sciatic attack, but I'm trying to make a go of it.
Uh-oh. Well, we are proud of that you're making a go of it. And can you introduce yourself for everybody?
Hi, my name is Jamie Trujillo. I'm a friend of Robin's from high school, and I have a tattoo shop up in Seattle, Washington, called Chromo. I've been up here about 14 years, and I hope to think that I help people with their psychic armor.
Okay, and he's a marvelous, talented individual with his tattooing abilities and just an artist in general. So we thank him for always coming on and giving the Jamie perspective. We love that about him. And that's right. And just to do a little shout out, again, I'm Robin Misevich. I live in Riverside, California, and I have a shop called Flowers for You. We're kind of a really unique flower shop, gift shop, and we also have events and things like that. So if you're interested in that, you can go ahead and contact us directly by just go ahead and getting online and searching for Flowers for You in Riverside, and there'll be information up there for you. So we got all kinds of things to talk about tonight like we normally do. And, gosh, there's been a lot of different unusual weather happening, so we always like to talk about the weather because I know that affects everybody, and it's kind of showing what's going on with the energy just on the planet, which is very interesting. And we've got Halloween. Halloween's coming up this weekend on Sunday, so we definitely wanted to talk about that and maybe touch a little bit on the political frontier, what's happening with the elections. Not too much, but, you know, that's just something that's definitely affecting the energy and affecting where we are with everything on that. So any thoughts on the weather, Jamie, you want to make a comment on? Jamie is always wonderful about, like, checking out the news for us, and he's an avid reader, so we appreciate any insights he has. So you go ahead. What are your insights, sir?
Well, local weather up here finally is now autumn, and, you know, at the end of October, quite a bit of rain and cold weather. I know there was a chain of storms in the Midwest, and lots of tornadoes, like in the Tornado Alley, heavy winds in Chicago that forced a lot of cancellations at O'Hare. I know that there was a video of some tornado that somebody took. They got really close, one of the best videos I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Just general, you know, it's autumn, and hard to believe it's already the end of October, and here we are.
Yeah, it's very very interesting that it's the end of October, and it's like the time does fly, my goodness.
Oh,
yeah. Gloria had mentioned something about there was like three cyclones this afternoon that were touching down in the Chicago area. You want to give a little more insight on that, Gloria?
They're calling it the Chiclone.
The Chiclone? Oh, my gosh. Okay. You want to say, what's going on with those Chiclones?
Well, I read briefly. I don't know a lot of detail. I know that there were three, one of the neighbors had reported that three cyclones had touched down independently very close to each other, and mm-hmm. one actually hit a barn and a couple of buildings.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
So they had two teenage deaths. They had one lady, a tree had been blown off of her tree 60 feet above where she was driving as she was driving through the storm, and uh-huh. it fell down on her car, broke through the car window, and impaled her.
How awful.
And,
oh, my God.
Yeah, and she did survive. They took her to the hospital. She had surgery and all of that, and they didn't say where it impaled her,
mm-hmm.
but it sounded pretty serious, and they were saying that a lot of the storms, especially in the Dakotas area, that they were going to have some weather, emergency weather alert, and
mm-hmm.
that there would be some storms, some rainstorms that would probably hit Washington, D.C. on the East Coast by tomorrow.
Wow. And is that going to be just for the duration of tomorrow, or we don't know?
Well, I know that the winds, I talked to family members that are in the Midwest today, and they said that the winds were really high. It was blowing their furniture out of the backyard.
Ooh.
And that the wind had died down today, but now they're anticipating the rain. And fortunately, it's not going to be freezing where
mm-hmm.
they're at. They said that it would be, you know, like low 40s.
Mm-hmm.
But they're expecting colder weather the next day. So it sounds
wow.
like it's the beginning of the season. But, you know, and I commented because, you know, this is kind of late in the season for that kind of weather.
Mm-hmm.
We're back there.
Yeah, it really
normally,
is. Huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Normally it's August and September, like the
mm-hmm.
tail end of July and then August through September and maybe the
mm-hmm.
beginning part of October. But I grew up back there and I don't recall ever having storms towards the end of October, beginning of November.
Hmm. Okay, well, you know, it's almost like never say never, you know how that goes.
Well,
and they're talking,
areas,
they are talking about the La Nina, and that's the wetter and of a worser winter, and how
right.
it just directs all these storms, lots of storms in a row, and it's just that's the way it works that way, I guess.
Well, yeah, and with this
especially
whole thing
for the coast up here, and then all that weather goes right across the country in a storm line. So I guess all that bad weather is going to hit the East Coast too.
Well, yeah, and when we have the tilting on the axis of the planet, it's going to shift a few things, and that'll, you know, the El Nino pattern, the El Nino pattern, you know, all of that is just going to be adjusted.
Well, and, you know, we've had, just in Southern California, we've had the El Ninos for, gosh, at least 30 years, if not longer than that. And there's definitely been a different weather systems and weather just behavior in the last 2 years, especially this year. California was just, we had a pretty mild summer, and the rain, we've had started to have rain season here, but it's just like drizzle that seems to be going down all the time. It used to be where we'd have more of the monsoons, where we'd just have these, you know, downpours that would just be coming down,
yeah.
and that just hasn't been the case this time. It's just been these little thunderstorms that go through. So,
yeah, I'm very happy with the drizzle.
Yeah, we are. I am too. So, you know, it's kind of interesting because usually California's been known for like, wow, we had a wild weather, and now all the wild weather's like all over the place. Everybody else but California. So it's just kind of interesting to see how things have been kind of changing up and doing stuff like that. So,
you know, ladies, I don't think I can get comfortable, so I'm going to have to check it out tonight, I believe.
Okay.
Wow, yes, I'm having a bad sciatic, and it just, you can't concentrate, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'd much rather
okay.
be on my game. But I wanted to check in and say hello to everybody. And,
okay, well, we missed you last week, and we're
I know, I'm sorry.
No, that's
but,
Jamie. Go ahead.
Yes.
Jamie, if you haven't spoken with your chiropractor yet, you might want to. They have different kinds of positioning. Where it's more comfortable to take the pressure off.
Right. I'm going to have to, I think I'm just going to have to get on the floor and put my legs up.
Well,
that's
okay. That's the best thing to do.
Wait. What my chiropractor had me do when I was experiencing a little bit of that is to get a footrest and lay over it.
Right.
That way you take the pressure off. So when you sit
right,
your
right,
legs
yeah,
off,
you have to kind of put your legs up on something. But, I just can't get comfortable, and I'm in a little pain, so I think I'm going to I think I'm going to get back and try to get stretch myself out here. So take care.
Okay.
All right, I will try.
Okay, we'll check in with you later.
All right.
Okay, bye. Thank you. Well, there you go. I know how that is. I've had episodes with sciatic too, and that's just not a fun condition to have.
No, not at all.
Yeah. But what he's talking about, laying down and putting your feet up, and then what you're talking about with the footstool. Yeah, all that stuff, anywhere you can do that. Yeah, exactly. But ultimately it's doing the gentle exercises to work your back and get your core stronger so you can support your whole system that way. Ultimately, it's going to be a... Huh?
No, let's talk about Halloween.
Okay, let's talk about Halloween. Yeah, we don't want to talk about sciatic. I have just been learning about all kinds of really wonderful things that they're going to be doing in the SoCal area for Halloween. The Long Beach Philharmonic, they're going to be doing a Wicked concert, which sounds very, very fun. It's going to be all the theme music that they've had through Wicked. And they do an interesting thing with the Long Beach Philharmonic where you basically get your seats, and then they do this, you bring a picnic. So everybody eats as a part of the show. Right before the show starts, they have like about an hour. Everybody goes and settles in with their tables, and there's kind of these table contests to see who can do these really great tables, I guess. So Miss Kathy, she's been on our show before. She was telling me all about it. So we were throwing around ideas at some stuff that she could do to decorate her table for Halloween. So that sounds like it'd be a pretty fun thing to do. Go get a little Wicked. There you go. It sounds like a fun thing to do. There was a thing on Yahoo today that was asking the question of how old are you before you stop going trick or treating. There you go. What do you think, Gloria?
You have to stop. There are people who have stopped.
There are people who want to stop. Yeah, I know. What's with that? I mean, you know. Well, I know. I think probably about 13 or 14. Although I've seen high school kids that have, you know, like seniors going around with pillowcases, you know, still trick or treating. You know, I don't know. I don't think very many people go door to door anymore. It's just not really. You just see a lot of the churches with their trunk and treats and things like that that they do, and their little concerts and things like that that they have, or the people, a lot of community centers and stuff like that opened it up so kids can actually be, you know, someplace that's just a gathering place for doing stuff like that instead of just going door to door.
Well, I think it just depends, too, on the communities. I know that when I was up in Orange County, I went out, when my son was younger, I went out and found neighborhoods that still did that I knew were okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we would drive over there. And, you know, at one point, I had people who made comments. It's like, what, you don't live in this neighborhood that I would share this with? Not the people that I was going trick-or-treating through, but the people, you know, that I had shared it with. And I was living in an area that was mainly a business section over near the airport. So there were no residential areas to go to. So technically it was one of the closest ones that was near.
Well, you know, and you always hear about it, it's like lower-income families, you know, busting all the kids over to these higher-end where, they, you know, they're actually giving away full candy bars and all kinds of crazy stuff because it's the economy. The economics are different, you know.
Well, and you can look at it in a variety of ways because there's the economical aspect, but then there's also the emotional aspect. And when my son was little and we went out, you know, I wanted him to experience what I had experienced as a child, and that was the communities and the neighborhoods and the houses that were decorated and the people that would come to the door and all the kids running from house to house all around, everybody all in costume with the parents as well, you know. And having a sense of community is such a strong thing to give to a child.
Yeah, I agree.
Even if they are coming from a different neighborhood, it's beyond the economics when you look at it from that perspective, because what you're doing is you're creating an individual who has a wholeness within their id or their ego of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
That was my perspective on it.
Yeah, I agree with that. So it's just that matter of, and you know, and I don't know, I think the last time I really got involved with trick-or-treating was when I went to one of those trunk and treats at a church and just kind of had a couple bags of candy and was just passing them out. And it was just those, you know, the really little ones that just, you know, when you look at them and you go, oh, hi, and you're trying to talk to them like they what they're dressed up as, and they're totally into it and believing that they you know, they are the character or whatever. That's just so fun. It's just so special.
Right.
That kind of a thing. Right. Yeah, and I, to me, that's, it's just kind of like almost like Christmas, too. It's about, you know, for the little ones. Just to kind of,
well, and having the parents participate,
mm-hmm,
is a huge,
mm-hmm,
part of it too. You know, going,
oh, yeah,
and chaperoning at parties, whether it be through churches or through, well, and I know that I said churches, but there are other groups. Like we did it,
oh,
through,
sure, uh-huh,
through a gymnastics group. You know,
mm-hmm,
and so,
mm-hmm,
as a chaperone, you dress up too, and you become part of the children's process, and,
mm-hmm,
it's good.
Mm-hmm. So, because I know people have been asking, you know, for different organizations and stuff like that, for different gatherings, if people are going to get dressed up and stuff like that, depending where they're going and what they're doing. So that's just kind of fun. And I always think Halloween's interesting, too, because it's almost like your alter egos get to come out for a day. You know, you always hear about these high school guys that want to dress up like girls, you know, so one day they can wear a dress to school and nobody makes fun of them, you know.
You know, that's an interesting segue.
They can go and drag, and they enjoy themselves.
You know, Robin, that's an interesting segue, because I was just going to comment that I had read a while back that based on the tradition of Halloween, that it was kind of like, based on it being a new year and, you know,
mm-hmm,
the end of a year, I had read that the traditional, when they started it, was that you were supposed to dress up for who you wanted to be for the next year.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and I have a friend, Reverend Marie, we should have her on the show. She was, her and I were sharing about that, where she loves to do Halloween parties, and you actually dress like something that you want to create for the next year. Like if you wanted a new,
right,
car, you dress like you have the new car and what you'd be wearing, like sport gloves, and, you know, you just kind of get into that, like you're going to, you know, I probably would dress like I'm going to be changing the oil of my new car, you know, like,
oh,
a little,
you know,
mechanic outfit on or something.
Instead of,
or like
you,
if you want to go on a vacation or something, I probably would dress like I'm going on my Hawaiian vacation. That sounds cool.
Yeah. Have you heard of Pageant of the Masters that they hold in Laguna Beach?
Yes. Well, why don't we talk about that for a second for people who don't know? That would be a wonderful thing.
Right. And I was going to say that that's where they dress up, and they are a picture. It's like a living picture.
Mm-hmm.
And so they will hold positions and poses. And, you know, when you were talking about dressing up as if you're,
mm-hmm,
driving a new car or what you want, all of a sudden I thought about the vision boards that we create. And so instead of Pageant of the Masters, we're going to have Pageant of the Vision Board, or the Vision Board Quest.
You know what? That would be really fun, though, if you, instead of, you know, your outfit's like just this plain white outfit, and then you put these different things on it that would be part of the vision you want to have for the next year.
No.
Why not? You could do that. You're wearing your vision.
Could.
Why not? That's
you
kind
could.
Of cool. Go ahead. Okay.
You could, but, you know, think about this. You have the I saw a picture once of a woman. It was an advertisement that somebody had cut out the page and put it on their refrigerator, and it talked about the modern woman, and it had her with a baby on the hip, wearing a suit and an apron and a spatula with a plate of cookies in the other hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like a cross between, it was like Supermom, right?
Uh-huh.
So you could make your costume according to your vision board, and your costume would be bits and pieces of everything that you're going to be doing.
Oh, my gosh. I don't think I want to be Supermom.
No, but that was an example. That was an example.
I know, but I mean, I don't know why,
and
when
so,
you said that, I was thinking of a talk that Marilyn, gosh, I feel so bad, I can't think of her last name. She's the one who did all that stuff with The Course in Miracles. Anyway, I'll think of her name. Go ahead.
So when I was thinking about the
alter ego thing, yeah.
When I was thinking about the vision board quest.
Yes.
Dress-up,
mm-hmm,
process, I was thinking about, you are your vision board, and you're basing it on who you're going to be, and it's based on the costume and what you're portraying.
Okay, so what would you dress up as? What would you do?
Oh, yeah.
No, really. I mean, let's We'll just talk about it here. Okay, you know, there you go. I didn't know you were going to get caught in that. Okay.
You didn't get to see my vision board.
No, I didn't.
I was actually thinking about that, and about 2 days ago I was thinking about that, and I thought, well, what do I want to be? And I thought about a couple of things, and then I thought, oh, no, that's way too much responsibility.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, there we go. Well,
so
you know,
I decided I'm going to be a queen. I'm not going to be a princess. I'm going to be a queen.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think you just, too, you just get to a certain age where you just can't be the princess anymore. You look at that and go, no, I can't be a princess. So this isn't working for me.
I never wanted to be a princess.
No, me neither. I never got into the whole princess thing. So there you go. I always wanted to be the jester of the court because the jester always kind of knew what was going on with everything and they could be light and fun and have a good time. So,
they were your political satirists.
Yes, yes. So, you know, but, you know, they a few of them didn't last too well either, so there you go.
Well, that was
depending on what was going on in the court, yeah. So, you know, there's a different level of all that. So,
that was before Gulliver's Travels.
Yes, it was. It was totally. And there's Jack Black's got a new one now calling, I can't remember what it's called. I think it's called Travels or something like that. And he's like Gulliver. Have you heard about that movie?
I know.
It's like a Gulliver's Travel, but it's got Jack Black as the guy. He's playing Gulliver. That's pretty interesting. Anyway. Oh, and there's another trailer that I saw. We're totally talking Paisley tonight, but that's okay. Gnomes and Juliet. Instead of Romeo, it's Gnomes and Juliet. So it's about the red gnomes and the green gnomes and how they both have their own little gardens. And, of course, they don't talk to each other because they have their own little gardens. And, of course, Juliet and Gnomeo, see each other from the other side of each other's fences and they fall in love, of course. So it's their whole thing of seeing one another, even though the families don't know about it. It's an animated one. That's the same guys that did Shrek.
Okay.
It's going to be coming out. Yeah, I think it's in January. I saw a trailer for that the other day. I went to go see Hereafter the other day, and I was so surprised about all the trailers. Almost 80% of the trailers were just all these negative horror movies that they're going to be having coming out.
Well, that's because they think that people like that on Halloween.
Well, not even Halloween. I mean, it's going to be from now till right before Christmas. All these Halloween, all these, you know, just terror movies and paranormal and just all this other kinds of stuff that's going to be coming out, which is just really interesting, you know, whether it's aliens or landing and blowing up all the cities or, you know, just this different kinds of stuff that are going to have happening. So it's interesting. All our preferences of what we're going to be afraid of and not going to be afraid of or being challenged. So that's kind of a good thing, being able to clean the air for stuff like that.
Well, there are people who utilize fear as a stress release process because they have the flight or fight process and they, you know, have the body stressors, and then when everything turns out okay, then they relax. And people, when they are fearful, go out and find something that will create fear so that they can forget about their own fears, which seem more real.
Well, when you've got a zombie chasing you, you know, and then
you realize that
all you have to do is just go out and hit the LA freeway. You know, life's a lot better. Oh, gee, I don't have to deal with that zombie. Okay.
I don't know. I've had some zombies on the freeway chase me in the past. And they were all on the freeway.
You're like, what the heck is going on?
I know. I was actually coming back from, I was going down the 91 from where you live towards Orange County.
Uh-huh.
And I was in traffic that was almost virtually stopped. And all of a sudden I had this person who was basically tailing me no matter where I went. Mm-hmm. I think we were doing maybe 25, 30 miles an hour, and I started getting tailed, and I finally lost them. I got to a position where they couldn't get behind me anymore, and I think I took an off-ramp after they were already past one, but I couldn't lose them. And it was very scary.
Yeah.
And even though there were all these people around, I really mm-hmm. felt like I was all by myself. But that's another matter, and it's not about Halloween, so.
Okay, and then we're just, you know, and that's either the smart thing, because sometimes you just, when you have a situation like that, just to try to stay in a public place and get off as quickly as you can and kind of keep public until you know you're not getting followed, because you know that goes. The rule of thumb on stuff like that is to keep yourself in a place where you can go and be with a lot of other people so you're protected. So, that lady, I was trying to remember, her name is Marianne Williamson. You ever heard of Marianne? Yes, Miss Marianne Williamson. And I can remember she had some wonderful books come out, and she was talking about that too, with the sense of identity with women, whether they see themselves as princesses or queens, and just uh-huh. owning our sense of womanhood and what that looks like, and just a sense of being out to go out and change the world, and just that's because they're saying that now, that it's a matter of the grandmother feminine energy that's really coming back a lot more stronger on the planet and really enabling a lot of women to come into their own and being able to do a lot more than they've had the gumption to do in the past. So that's a good thing.
Right, yeah, and that energy started coming in when I was in Sweat Lodge. I was told about 5 years ago that mm-hmm. that energy had already started.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad to hear that it's taking better hold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kathy Elliott, one of our friends too, she's helped on the switchboard quite often. She was sharing there's a couple different books that she'd been reading about grandmother energy, and I can get a hold of her with those books and stuff. And she really enjoyed them and got a lot out of them. And I know that there's some different events that are happening off of Facebook. You can kind of put your preferences in there, and there's drummings and things like that that are kind of happening all over the United States. There was a Facebook event that I got on my email tonight. It was called Buddha Meets Jesus. And it was kind of an alternative spiritual gathering for people, depending on where they were with their different stuff, just being very open-minded to just all the different ways of being able to, you know, experience spirituality. And unfortunately, it was in New York City, but there you go. It totally sounded like something that would happen in California, you know, especially in the L.A. area. But I was like, looked at that and went, wow, this is in New York. So that was kind of interesting. So
yeah,
I think my parameters are kind of a little more narrower than that, that's for sure.
Well, I've noticed that there's quite a lot of those on the northeast portion of the United States, and then there's a couple down in not so much the mid-south, but more west-south. So it's almost like an angle, it seems like. It kind of goes from the north of the United States, the northeast, down to the southwest more so.
Uh-huh.
But there's,
yeah,
because
like that whole area around Chicago and what's near Chicago? With Illinois, Wisconsin? Is Wisconsin? Wisconsin's near Illinois, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I know that in Wisconsin there's quite a few different retreat centers and things like that in that area.
Mm-hmm. And also, you know, I don't mean to ignore the other places that have, you know, quite a lot of people. I know that California has a large contingency, and a lot of it, I think, comes down to the locale, because, like, the Reno Convention Center in
mm-hmm.
the October period, it's somewhere in October. I don't recall now if it was closer to Halloween or towards the beginning. I think it might have been mid-month. That they have a pretty large major psychic fair event there at the convention center, and it draws people from the local communities that don't necessarily have the population to support it, and people who are interested but don't have any place to go. So they
mm-hmm.
draw people from Fallon and you know, Carson City, and I think, I don't know, Fernley. I think, you know, there's a lot of different places where they'll draw them from. And it was really surprising to me that it was so large.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know with the floral essences and stuff like that were basically created up in that area. So there's that whole holistic community that's up there for different things that they
and
have
you,
going on.
And you remember, I think that you remember Dean that has the holistic events?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I remember Dean.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and he recently, I noticed that he is now advertising the Reno Psychic Fair on his newsletter now.
Oh, good. Okay, that's good.
And renting out some booths that way, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. good. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see because we met Dean and Al Diaz and some of these other guys at the Kauai. They have their spiritual expo. It's usually in late January, and it'll be interesting to see how that all comes together for in 2011. So I'm already making plans that I'm planning on attending, so we'll see how that all goes. But being means and weather and all that good stuff, you know how that goes.
Next time, we'll talk about it later, but next time you're going to go over, I want you to let me know.
Yes, yes. So we'll talk about that later, but that's good. Another site that I get on a regular basis is it's Mahala. It's mahalaastrology.com, and I got turned on to that a couple months ago. Now, I've really noticed I'm not necessarily somebody who follows astrology very intently, but just in reading different things and seeing different things that are happening on a planetary level and also on a solar level, just recognizing a lot of the different things that are happening on different stuff. So I wanted to kind of share with you some stuff that she had on the planetary alert for November, and I think it's kind of an interesting thing. She was saying that she says, you sometimes feel like the world is crazy, everything's moving so fast you can't seem to keep up, and you feel like your life is out of control. She says, if so, join the crowd. She says, energy is very intense right now and will continue to build for a while. Usually the energy breaks at the full moon, but it is so intense that it seems like it will continue to build. This gives you an opportunity to look within for your peaceful center. So that was kind of a nice reminder of everybody kind of coming from their centers when it comes to stuff like that. And I know personally I've seen some things like that happening, that it seems sometimes it's hard to get yourself focused unless you really make a mindful effort to do that. She's also talking about the super typhoon that happened in Megi, which hit off the Philippines, was a manifestation of this new intensity of energy that's coming off the green. There's a green comet that's been coming really close to the Earth. And actually, it came its closest on October 20th. And it's moving its way out now. But between the full moon and that comet, there's a lot of extra energy that was really affecting, you know, where we are with a lot of different stuff that we're looking at. So I wanted to pass that along, too.
That's an announcement about the green gnomes that are coming.
Yes, the green gnomes. Uh huh. The gnomes and Juliet.
Mm-hmm.
And also that. Let's see, what planet? Venus is in retrograde. So when that's in retrograde, it means that we're. Huh?
I said yes. I heard about that. I was just amazed. I've never heard about Venus being in retrograde. I'm sure it's
retrograde.
Happened.
Well, apparently all the planets go in retrograde, but it depends on where they're located with different stuff. But it's Venus and Pluto are in Venus is in retrograde, so it's a challenge with Pluto's energy, and supposedly that's another way for it causing intense energy. And Venus will go out of retrograde on November 18th. So November 2nd. Go ahead.
Isn't Pluto tied into business endeavors?
Let me go back to that because she's really good about telling you what it is. Pluto rules of death and transformations.
Okay.
Yeah, and so she says Venus is the ruler of Libra, which rules money. Pluto rules death and transformation, and Capricorn rules the housing market. So Pluto is in the Capricorn right now saying, let's bring the problem to the surface so everyone can see what's going on with the banks, because as we know, the banks are all getting challenged about, you know, what do you really own, and, you know, how many times have you sold the deed to somebody else, kind of a thing. So nobody can say they can't kick somebody out because they don't have the true deed. So all these bankruptcies are not happening because they can't prove anything. And they're showing that the part of that's just on a planetary level, which was interesting. So Venus is in retrograde in Scorpio, which is ruled by Pluto, which means that we have a Venus-Pluto challenge in front of us, which is causing intense energy. And Venus will, like I said, it'll move back to being in direct on November 18th. So when a planet is retrograde, it brings things from the past into our life and onto the world scene. Being Venus in retrograde, it rules money and relationships, so the problems of what are surfacing right now when we relook at people and who we are in our life and make some changes. And it's also a good time to look at your issues concerning money. So the world has a huge $45 trillion mess to look at right now, along with other money issues. So that's pretty amazing to think about that amount of of money kind of thing. To me, it's like looking at the stars. It's just a little overwhelming. You kind of go, wow, look at that. So there you go. But with the upcoming election on November 2nd, there's also a very interesting constellations and stuff that are going to be coming into alignment on that day, which is interesting because it says that it's going to be really encouraging people who are light workers to get along together, and hopefully we'll get some people in there who are actually running for office that have more of the modern forward thinking. And Jupiter is in conjunction with Uranus, and she said that this makes things unexpected will be happening during the election. So she said just, you know, hold on to your hats because it should be interesting to see how it all plays itself out.
You mean people might actually wake up?
Yeah, yeah. Although, just watching a little bit on the news, they were talking about that, about how it's just seemed to be this election is such a free-for-all of people who normally wouldn't be considered to even be somebody who would be, you know, considered for an office or actually could be forerunners or people who really have a chance to actually be voted into office. So it's very, very interesting. We're also, we're in the year of the tiger, and that's one reason why it's been so explosive and had all these different changes and things happening. And on February 3rd of 2011, we'll move into the year of the rabbit. And the rabbit energy in the Chinese astrology is a gentler energy that actually brings things into more harmony and more solitude. And it's saying that interrelationships will be on the agenda and money will flow again. And so it'll be in a place where we can kind of relax and know that things are on the other side of a lot of stuff. So some things to look forward to the new year. So that's all good.
We will be experiencing the Chinese New Year by leaps and bounds.
Yes, we will, because it's a rabbit. So, you know, and you know how rabbits are. So there's going to be a lot of babies. It's going to be prolific, okay? So plant your money now, because, you know, if you plant money now, you're going to begin seeing the reaping of that, you know, once things start moving along. There you go. So, you know, all this just helps you to get from just a different perspective. It's almost like getting in an airplane and looking from a different, you know, a little bit higher up and looking at it from just a different perspective instead of, you know, listening to all these different things on a different level. So it's pretty cool. So anyway, that's just something that went to, just the listeners want to check in again. That's Maya. It's M-A-H-A-L-A-L-A, Mala, Mahala Astrology. And .com. So she's got some extra stuff. I like her thing too, because she's got this little thing where she shows the current status of the moon, which is kind of cool. It tells you exactly what time it is and the date and all that stuff. And it's 83% full. There we go. And we are waning. It's a waning process right now. So there you go. So that's just kind of a fun little thing that kind of has some stuff on there. Plus, I listen to Tarot.com. You can go to Tarot.com every day and sign up for their regular little, they do it for about a little over a minute. They've got a couple astrologers that are the regular guys that they talk about what's going on with different alignments and things like that and how that could be affecting your energy on a general level. And then you can let them know your sign and stuff like that. And there's a general message for just your sign too. So that's always interesting. I'm not into that as much, but it's always interesting to see when stuff like that goes on. So, you know, kind of forewarn you if a day is kind of a heavy day or whatever, you're like, oh, okay. It may not necessarily just be me. It's the stars. That's a good thing. You can blame the stars. Oh, those damn stars. There we go. There we go. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Halloween. Go back into Halloween again with all this wild weather, you know, because usually, I mean, at least in Southern California, it's still hot, and all these poor kids, we all worry about them because we figure they're just not going to be able to survive in their costumes, but whoa, this year, you know, they want to be bundled up and have a, you know, a nice warm outfit to keep themselves warm, so that's good. You there, Gloria?
I am here.
Okay. So, what's the weather? Have you checked on the weather for San Diego for this weekend?
No, I have not. I love to be surprised. I'm hoping it rains every night and it's nice and sunny during the day like it has been.
Okay. You've been getting rain every night?
Almost. It's been kind of, I wake up in the morning and the streets are wet and or I have water that is accumulated on top of my awnings that is dripping.
Wow. So there
I have moss growing in the cracks of my backyard patio.
You're like, what the heck?
I have moss. I'm so excited.
I know. And you're so cute, too, because I love her. She'll get apples and have seeds, and she'll grow her seeds or whatever. What were you growing before? I can't remember.
Oh, I have Braeburn apple seeds that are growing. They were sprouting in the apple, and I just thought, I can't not do this.
Yeah. And then what was that other stuff that you planted that was doing so well?
Oh, papaya. The papaya seeds.
Papaya. That's right. The papaya seeds. And they're still doing well?
They're the Maridol papayas, yes. I left them outside so that they can be rained on.
Oh, good. Okay. That's good.
Rainwater is wonderful for growing plants.
I had a ficus that was doing okay at the shop, but I decided I would bring it home just to kind of give it someplace else to be growing for a while. And, oh, my gosh, I've gotten so many little leaves and stuff on this thing. It just makes me happy to come and check it out because it's just thriving. It's just doing so well. And every time I look at it, it's got all these new little leaves and stuff that it's got doing stuff. So it really likes to hang out in my kitchen. So that makes me happy. So there you go. It's all those little things. We've got our little plant friends that just make life a little bit of a joy, a little bit of stuff that's just growing, which is good. But that's all really good. So before we came on the air, they had Larry King was interviewing that guy that was the flight attendant that had lost it. I wish I could remember his name, but anyway, they had him. There was this guy a few months ago that he had had some irate customers that he was serving, and they got out of hand, and he got out of hand, and he was really at the end of his rope because he had some personal issues with his mother. That was his mother's ill, and he, you know, it's like when you want to be two places at once. You have to work, but yet you want to be with your family. And the people on the plane were just being really irate. He basically had just lost it. It pretty much inflated the slide on the side of the plane. And once they landed, he because everybody was being so irate about being able, they had, for whatever reason, they were letting him off the plane right away. So he basically opened up the side door, and he inflated the slide, grabbed a couple beers, and slid down and said, I quit. So, I think he had a couple things to one of the passengers before he left, though, too. One of the guys had been giving him a bunch of...
Speaking of airplanes...
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard about the TSA's new naked body scanning machine?
No. So
yeah,
tell me about that.
And you can opt out of them, and they have naked body scanners at the airport, and they have been telling people, one, you can say that you want to opt out, and they still end up doing the pat down, and I guess they've now started to include the crotch areas and the buttocks
depending on how small an ignition or something like that, you can hide something, considering what people have hidden their body parts, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's amazing
and,
what people do.
And they're saying that even though the TSA is telling you that the machines can't possibly contribute to cancer or to save the scans, because you have someone who is, you have to put your hands out like you're in being arrested, and
uh-huh.
they ask you to hold that pose for 3 minutes, and they have somebody who is standing there viewing your body, and they say that they can't maintain these pictures and images, but they can.
Uh-huh.
So
it's an X-ray machine?
No. It shows a naked body.
So they can see under your clothing.
From what I've seen, yes. Let me look. Let's see. I had it. Let's see.
Is there certain people that they're having them do that, or they're just doing it for pretty much the general public?
General public. And
why?
All of the, air travelers are being scanned. Their naked body images appearing on a screen somewhere, of course. And
uh-huh.
a TSA agent was examining the naked body shape and contours of all of these people. I don't know exactly what they're showing. I had somebody on Facebook who had shared that as an image, and they were showing a naked body, you know, like skin. But I don't know how a machine would be able to see the skin through the clothing. That doesn't resonate.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know the exact details about it, but you can opt out.
Yeah. Well, you can totally protest that on a certain thing, or just cause on something like that. You know how that goes. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, it always kind of amazes me where, you know, because I always think, because every time I've flown, well, not every time, but I've had a couple instances where they look at me like, well, she looks so normal, we would really want to check her out. You know how that goes.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah,
you know, I don't look suspicious. So then they really want to check you out because you don't look suspicious. You know how that goes.
Now they're also pushing the flu shots at the airports as well, with a nurse in a kiosk.
It's like, who's making money off of that? That's what I want to know.
Well,
that's
the $35
for somebody.
The $35
that
you pay.
I'm not going to do that. Yeah.
The $35 probably at least 50% of it is going to the airport for a terminal kiosk fee.
Yeah, and then I think about that, too. It's like, well, if you're going to get the shot, then odds are you're probably going to start having symptoms as soon as you get the shot. Because you're going to have a minor version of it because when you have a shot, yeah.
It's a live vaccine. Of course you are.
Yeah, so you're going to get a live vaccine and then you're going on a plane.
Yeah. Oh, that's smart, yeah.
I don't think I want to do that, no. You know, it's like, okay, let's have the whole plane, everybody's gotten their shots, and we're all going to share the vaccine, you know, a certain percentage of the virus. It doesn't sound like a smart idea. I heard the other day that if you want to avoid jet lag, as soon as you can possibly do it, go outside and walk barefoot on grass.
Okay.
I've heard that that's just a really good thing to do. Can you imagine people like running out, you know, at the terminal looking for grass? But anyway.
Okay. You know, whatever helps somebody, I'm all for it. I mean, personally, I've never had an experience of jet lag. No matter what time zones I go across, no matter which direction, it's like, so I really can't speak to that.
But so if you've never had that problem, because I've heard the thing to do is like, if you travel, like you're going to do overseas or something, you automatically adapt to that timeline. So say like you leave in the middle of the night and like it's like the middle of the afternoon or something by the time you get there, even though you're tired and you want to lay down and sleep. You'd stay up, and you'd go to sleep when it was like more in the evening. So your body would automatically get set to the new clock. That's where you are with where you're living, you know.
Right, and I've heard that as well. And I know that a lot of people are more light sensitive than others, and depending mm-hmm. upon your personal energy levels, you know, everybody's mm-hmm. physiology is different. So there's probably a lot of, or at least some documentation to support this about walking through the grass, because when you walk through grass, like I'm basically as barefoot as possible at all times
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
I know that I have a stronger connection to the earth and the planet that
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm.
So that would make a lot of sense from a number of different levels. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and yet with the light sensitivity, some people may be better off to go with the sleep patterns,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Well, I know some people have been saying, too, that, you know, part of that logic of being barefoot and walking on grass and stuff is so many people are not wearing, like, say, leather shoes or something where, you know, there's a lot of rubber-soled shoes. So you're not really connecting to the electromagnetics of the earth. And a part of that's just being barefoot and how important that is to get yourself reconnected. So that's
right.
kind of what you're talking about, too, is, because I'm usually like that, too. I wear a lot of tennis shoes, unfortunately, but actually, I've been thinking about getting a pair of moccasins.
Well, like when I fly, I get a pair of footies that are specifically
mm-hmm.
for inside the airplane.
No, okay.
And that way, I can let my feet relax as well, and it's a lot more comfortable, especially on longer flights.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah. So the less confined, the better. Is that what you're saying when you fly? So going
Definitely.
Through that thing and being naked is okay. No, okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, walking.
You're going to scan me anyway. What the hell? Okay, here we go.
Walking through the scanners, I normally will, if I do have a pair of shoes that I'm going to be wearing for business, I will take a pair of sandals, and I put the sandals on before I even get to the scanner, and it goes into the bag that gets scanned. It's one less step that I have to go through.
Yeah.
Because at one point they were scanning my shoes and the soles and having me take off shoes, and I said, you know, this is crazy. It slows down the process. And so
mm-hmm.
I just made a point to always carry those kind of shoes and then go through with sandals.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you would just put them in your luggage or whatever, and they could scan the luggage, you know, that goes.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
well,
and then trade out or whatever.
If I had to be wearing them when I got off the airplane, say I was going back to the Midwest, and they were going
mm-hmm.
to be having inclement weather,
mm-hmm.
then and I needed to have shoes to protect my feet, so
mm-hmm.
they get put into the carry-on stuff, so yeah.
One time I went back east with my sisters. I have four sisters. And it was the first time when we were adults that we'd gone anywhere by ourselves like that together. And it was for my grandmother's 80th, I think it was her 80th. Yeah, it was quite then it was her 80th. Her 80th birthday party, right? So I'm looking at the weather going back east, and I had a pair of, like, snow galosh, you know, like, galoshes,
mm-hmm.
right?
I do.
And I'm the only one coming out of, here I am walking in California, and I got galosh, you know, I got my big boots on. Because I knew it was coming to Chicago, and Chicago had a threat of snow, potential blizzard situation, you know.
Right,
and so
right.
My sisters are laughing at me. They're looking at me, oh, Robin, she's so stupid. Leave it to Robin to come to the airport in California with her galoshes on, okay?
Well, and then you get there, and you're the ones that are wishing they had them on.
Well, okay, so we go landed in Chicago. Guess what? They're closing the airport, right? Because of the blizzard, right? And then we split up, right? Okay, two of us go to get our reservation at the hotel because we knew that, you know, everybody was going to get booked out because everybody's just to get off the plane. They were going to see if they can get a room. So two of us go to get a room, and then the other ones of us are looking to see what we can do for transportation. I'm the one outside because I got the glasses on and my little hat and my little gloves and stuff, and I'm hailing a cab.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, okay, you're laughing at me in California, but now you're glad I'm outside, okay?
Right.
And it was so funny, too, because we get to the hotel, and the taxi driver, he didn't know it, but about maybe, I don't know, it must have been about a fourth of a mile from the hotel, he got a flat tire. And we could tell, but we didn't say anything to him because we didn't want him to stop because it was snowing, right? So we waited until he got to the hotel, and he said, oh, you might want to check your tire. And then we got to the hotel room, and everything was closing down because, you know, because between the storm and then it was a little later at night, and we ordered, we were in Chicago, so we got, oh, man, we got to get pizza. It's just Chicago pizza, right? I mean, you know, that's we always want to get what the specialty is of the town kind of thing. And so we get this Italian food. So we had spaghetti and pizza and all this kind of stuff, and they didn't have any utensils. So we were so hungry. We were eating with our hands. It was so funny. We're eating spaghetti and stuff with our hands.
Oh, I was going to say thank goodness it was pizza. But.
Yeah, well, we used the pizza and the bread and stuff, but we were using our hands for spaghetti and stuff, too. We had salad and spaghetti and all kinds of stuff. We're just eating it all with our fingers. It's one of those things we all get together and laugh about. You're like, yeah, we were eating the spaghetti with our hands. Yeah, that was pretty good. So there you go. The joys of flying and the little adventures that go along with it. So that's always fun. It's always a good time for that. So.
So did you have more to share about Mahala's astrology or tarot that you were talking about?
I can give you a little bit more on that if you want, sure.
Well, you know,
we've got a few more minutes left,
so,
you know, I was wanting to do a quote and things like that, so.
Yeah. So, you know, if you'd like to share whatever you want to share in the time that we have left and then the quote, that would be great.
Okay. So, let's see. Well, this is a good one. Okay. This one's on communication and persuasion. So, there you go. You cannot speak that which you do not know. You cannot share that which you do not feel. You cannot translate that which you do not have. And you cannot give that which you do not possess. to give it and to share it. And for it to be effective, you first need to have it. Good communication starts with good preparation. There you go. I don't know. Sometimes I think it's just divinely given. There you go. It's all good. Sometimes I'm inspired and I just say it off the top of my head and I go, ooh, that was good.
I have cliff notes for that.
Okay, go ahead. Of course you do.
If you don't know that you don't know, then you just don't know.
That's right. People go, what? It's like you have to be in the room to get that one. So there you go.
Or just repeat it to yourself a couple of times slower with commas.
Yeah. It's like the knowing of the knowing. You know, the now of the now, you know, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So the whole thing with the astrology is very, very interesting. You know, we've got Venus in retrograde and the green comet going on with all that. And then she does a really great job because there's actually four or five articles in her little website that she's got put together, which I really appreciate. Then there's one on thoughts of being an empath. And one thing she recommends that in being an empath and just recognizing that with all the different energy that's just being stirred up on the planet is just to make a conscious effort to, you know, pull in your energy and to be doing protection. How do you do protection for yourself? What do you do with that, Gloria?
I did it a while ago, and most people think about protection as pulling in, but
mm-hmm.
mine is about amping up my energy
mm-hmm.
so that my energy
is expanding out.
You
expand out instead of opposed to in.
And by it going out, there's really no room for something to come in.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I'm open. It's that I'm on and open.
You're on and open. Oh. One thing she recommends is
a lot of people from an empathic space are coming from what they're feeling from the outside coming at them.
Right.
And so finding in life, everything is about finding a balance and being able to maintain your ability to receive and be open has to be balanced by expanding your energy level and then allowing that energy to go out as well. So the energy going out is providing like a force field around
mm-hmm.
your body, and then you choose what energy hits that force field as to what you're going to allow in.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I like that. I like how it's more expansive. So she said on here, she says, how can you keep from picking up other people's feelings? She says, how do you set up emotional boundaries? What is the process?
I was going to say that thing with the how do you stop picking up people's emotions.
Uh-huh.
Is a very hard one for those people who are empathic and don't know that they're picking up other people's emotions. They don't understand.
Well, and I think that's one thing you need to know is just really knowing yourself. Yeah.
But you see, if you haven't, that goes along with the not knowing that you don't know, because
mm-hmm.
you may not have had any kind of an introduction to it or anybody around you. It's kind of like you don't know the color white unless you know what white looks like and it's called white. And
right.
when I first was experiencing the empathic processes, I was younger than 18, and I had nobody in my life to be able to explain it to me. And
mm-hmm.
I didn't understand. I would go to parties. I would go outside and feel all of these. I was happy when I went, and then I'd get there, and I just felt awful. And it wasn't until my 30s when it got brought up, and I went, somebody suggested, they said, well, you know, maybe you're picking up other people's feelings. And I went, oh, my gosh, and things clicked. And it was like, wow, you know, and here I've had to suffer all of this time. And it was more than just the physical suffering, the feeling, their things, because it was also the suffering inside of me going, what's going on? What's wrong? Why am I feeling this way? So there was internal conflict as well.
So what did you – we've got like 40 seconds, so what did you do?
We could always talk about that on another show.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll pick that up next show. And just to let our listeners know, we're on November 9th. we're going to be having a special guest. Russell Feingold is going to be on, and he's going to be talking about his book called Heart Wisdom. So we're looking forward to that as an upcoming show. And again, if you guys
shout
have any questions
Russell.
Or...
Huh? Shout out for Russell.
Shout out for Russell. So we're looking forward to that, and we thank you all for joining us at the cafe tonight. And, again, if you guys have any questions or concerns, please let us know. And if you have any ideas for our shows, let us know, and we look forward to seeing you next time at the cafe.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again. Travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe. Good night.